I wanted to change more than I didn't. And we don't see what's on the other side of that unless we're brave enough to take that step.
Lucy got to the point where she was finally ready to change her drinking, but she had laid her personal development groundwork first.
But once that drink was gone, it was like, I've spent 24 years of my life hiding, not being me, and it's killed me. It's nearly killed me. It's not served me.
Changing her drinking gave Lucy the final confidence she needed to share her art and build a community.
We're born worthy, and there's nothing we need to do to achieve that or get to that status. We are worthy, full stop.
Welcome to the next round, where we discover what people did next after knocking booze on the head. From trying fun challenges to complete life changes, people ended up in unexpected places. There is a next round out there for all of us. Lucy Sheffield spent 8 years working on where she wanted to be, building layers of confidence and self-awareness. The last stage was to quit drinking, but her journey did not end there.
Art to me means it's how I express. It's how you know who I am at my core. It's how I shine bright onto a canvas and allow you to see all of those vulnerable, I don't know, naked, scary parts of me that I'm perhaps a bit unused to sharing. But since becoming sober, it's been very apparent to me that I don't have anywhere to hide anymore. So you get to see all of me, and mostly that ends up coming out on a canvas in very bright colours. So art to me is, it's who we are, it's creativity, and it's who we are at our core when we're not afraid to let ourselves be seen. For many years when I was drinking, I didn't think I was good enough. And I used to be, like, I've always been able to draw. And I used to spend a little bit of time doing a bit of drawing here and there. And I used to, when I was in my 20s, I used to do a little bit of painting, but I didn't do anything with it because it was very much like, nah, I'm not good enough. That was in life in general, not just in art, with everything. So I just didn't do anything with it. And it happened naturally and organically for me when I quit my drinking 3.5 years ago. The art just came through me. I started playing because it was in lockdown, and I started playing with paint pouring and playing with art. And I took the steps. I didn't kind of plan to make a business or do anything with it. It just happened. I was just taking the steps because the drink was gone, the block was gone. And here was Lucy going, hello, I'm on the canvas.
What's your history with drinking, and why do you think it's stopped you for so long? And where's that story for you?
So we need to go back a very long time for that. So I'm 42 in a couple of months, and we need to go back to probably when I was about 14, 15. And I was at school, and I tried to come out as gay to my mom. And I was brought up in a religion, and there was a lot of, you can't do and you must follow the rules. And I felt really, really, really trapped, and I didn't know how to be me. And I had so many things inside of me that I wanted to say and express and share, but it felt too scary, and it felt like I'm wrong. I'm not allowed to be who I feel that I am inside. So very quickly I started work in a shop, and I became friends with some older girls, and they used to go out clubbing and drinking. And I think we used to take a few little things, snorty things or whatever, drugs and stuff. And very quickly I realized that when I drank, I felt so much more relaxed and confident, and I cared less what I was saying, and I was able to express and say what was on my mind. And I felt like I was good enough when I was drinking. It just made me feel better, and it looked like the drink was doing that. Over the years then, I just used to go out partying a lot at first. And then I met a partner. I was about 26, I think. And I realized that my drinking was just going crazy. I was drinking all the time, a lot. Not all the time, maybe about 5 days a week. But I was drinking a lot, and I was mentally abusive to her. And I didn't like the person that I was becoming. She was a really nice woman. We had a great relationship. And I knew I was ruining it by what I was doing. So I don't know why I had that awareness, and I don't know why I was able to be honest about that and open about that. But it then took me on a spiritual journey over the next 8 years until I got to a place where I was able to actually stop the drinking.
That's fascinating, actually, because to be open and honest enough about the fact that you were being horrible to somebody when you were drinking, because you do often, I mean, I find it now when I'm anxious and tired, I can be quite horrible to the person I like. And I think, and I go, shit, I must have been terrible when I was drinking, because I was always anxious and I was always tired and I was always full of self-loathing. So I must have been really, really horrid.
Yeah, same.
But for you to take 8 years over that journey, sounds like a long time for some people. But I guess until you're ready, you're not ready, right? How did that journey look for you?
That's exactly it, because... And I don't like, I, you know, I share my journey all the time with people, and I'm open, I'm honest, I'm not, you can ask me anything you like, I'll share it with you. And I don't like, sometimes I'm a bit like, oh, I don't want to tell people it took 8 years, it might put them off. But that's my journey, that was my experience. And I am super, super grateful for that. There's nothing I would want to change in any of my experience. I just think it's incredible where I've come from and where I'm at now and stuff. So when I first was like, right, I want to stop drinking, I started talking to my auntie, and she'd come across a spiritual understanding. It's called the Three Principles, if anyone's interested in having a Google of it. And she'd been in an abusive relationship for 20 years with her kids, and had to leave the relationship and stuff and live in a women's refuge. And she changed so much, like night and day. She was thriving, and I saw that change in her. And it was like, what is it that you know that I want to know? Because I know I'm ruining my life here and I don't want this. I want to be like you. You know, I want to be happy and I want to feel good. And I don't want to ruin my relationship. So I started talking to her, and she started basically, I mean, it's 12 years I've been around this kind of spiritual conversation understanding. So I can't put it into, there's a lot to put into 12 years of how, what it is, but it's about understanding how we create through our thinking. We create all our realities through that power of thought that we're given as a gift. And what we do is we misguide that, we misunderstand that, and we use that against ourselves. So we follow those negative thought patterns so much more, because we're kind of, society teaches us that don't think that you're good, you know, don't think you're good, who are you to shine and think that you're amazing, that's just egotistical, and we just misunderstand. So
how did you begin to even tackle that when you were in a low self-loathing, I'm drinking too much, I need to sort this out place?
I just listened. And I think what I believe is every single one of us has wisdom inside. And we're not used to listening to that voice, because it's a very, very quiet voice, like intuition or gut feelings, the same sort of thing. But my auntie, like, there must have been maybe like a crack in me, you know, where, you know, that whole thing where there's like a chink of light can get through a little crack. I can only see it like that. There must have been a crack that was slightly open for me to be able to hear what my auntie was saying and the drip feeding that she was giving me, because I just turned up to those calls every single week. I published author as well, and I've written a couple of books. And that came in first when we moved to Devon 5 years ago. My sister and I moved down here. We'd had a good friend who had died suddenly, and I think it was to do with drink and drugs. I'm not 100% sure what happened, but that made my sister and I go, right, what are we doing? We need to go and live our lives and follow our passions and go and help our auntie teach this stuff to people so that people are understanding themselves more. So that gave us the kick to move. And when that was happening, I was writing a book, and I was like, right, I need to get my book published. So creativity had started to come in then, because even though I hadn't quit the drink until, you know, it took 8 years to do that, there were still so many things that fell away and so much more of me that was starting to, I don't know, let's say be a better human or show up better in the world. And my light was shining more and more. And it was almost like the drink was the biggest block. And once that was gone, it was literally like, oh, here's the world. Oh my God, it's so beautiful.
I'm interested because you made a lot of change before you gave up drinking.
Yeah.
And so you were already in a process of change and self-development. So what did finally quitting drinking, how did that make you feel? And how did you stop? Did you just stop?
It's a good question. I get asked that quite a lot. So it was scary at first a little bit, but it was also, you know, I have a lot of people say to me, oh, it must have been so hard. And I can't take that on because I don't find that was my experience. I found that because I was aligned and I was ready, it actually came with a lot of ease and flow. I was so ready for it that I can't say it was hard for me to do.
You'd done a lot of groundwork, right? Yeah. I can hear that in everything that you say. You'd done the groundwork. You were ready.
Exactly that. So what gave me the push was I was actually in a relationship with a woman at the time, and I'd got a lot of, I usually call it thinking, you can call it overthinking or too much thinking or whatever, but I was very, very scared of, in the bedroom, you know, sexual stuff with this woman. And I was so scared that every single time, and I'd been with her 5 months, and I thought, I can't do this anymore. I cannot continue living my life having to have a drink so that I can have sex because I don't feel good enough. That was literally the crux of it. And I was like, right. And I knew that I was going to have to give up the drink or give up or stay in that relationship and carry on. So that relationship ended. She ended up cheating on me, which was actually... I know I'm laughing, but it was really good because I didn't know how to get out of that relationship. And I think we're always given what we need. And I think that she did that for me so that I had the chance to be able to leave that and sort my own relationship out with my drinking. And what I did was I found Annie Grace because she'd written a 30-day experiment. And my words in life, and even then before I'd stopped the drinking, were like, oh, you know, life is about playing and being curious and exploring. I don't think anything should be, we don't need to take it as seriously as we think we do. So for me, when she, you know, marketed it as an experiment, I was like, oh my God, I can't get this wrong then. Like I can have a go at this and it doesn't matter if I mess up and fail. So I did 30 days and it was a little bit tricky to start with. You know, a friend came round about 2 weeks in and we'd always drank wine together, and my head starts saying, oh, go on, just have a glass of wine. And I was like, no, cheers very much. Off you go. No, thank you very much. You know, so there was a couple of situations like that. But yeah, that's what I did. I did the 30 days experiment with Annie and I thought it was amazing.
So then where did your explosion of art come? Because I really enjoy seeing all of your posts. You've built a community around your art, which is also the really important thing, because art can sometimes be a very solitary pursuit. But what you've done is you've gone, I'm taking this art into the world and I'm bringing everyone on the journey with me. And I find it incredibly joyful to read.
Thank you. I don't know how else to put it into any other words other than, once the drink was gone, I couldn't hide anymore. And I've always been quite open and honest, but it was always more around the drink. And then I'd just open my mouth and not let any filters in. But so I can't not show who I am. And I'm not really bothered what people think of me very much. I just shine and I just let myself be seen because I can't not. I can't not. I don't know how else to say that in any other words, I'm afraid.
I think it's a very powerful thing to say because, you know, particularly if you feel that you don't quite fit into society, and a lot of us don't do for many different ways, then you're always hiding a part of yourself. Yeah. That's actually quite stressful. And I know how that feels, and you know how that feels. I know all sorts of people with neurodiversity and who are queer and all sorts of things who feel like they're continually having to play a version of themselves. So I can definitely hear, I get what you mean.
Yeah. And I just wasn't prepared to do that anymore. It hurt me physically, mentally, everything. And I don't think anyone needs to do that. But we're so scared of who we are because we don't understand who we are at our core. We don't understand that we are love and we can be ourselves.
And so you started to move from writing to painting.
Yeah, well, it just again, it just happened when it just feels like it just happened. Once the drink was gone, I started playing with paints and having so much fun. Like it was like a child. I was like a child. Well, I still am quite a lot, but I was like a child when the drink was gone and I was playing with art. And I was just like, I could just see the world. I could just see like, oh my God, why didn't no one tell me this beautiful world was out here? And there's so much fun to be had. And there's so much creativity and there's so much exploring and curiosity. And oh my God, I just didn't realize how beautiful it was. Sort of feels like I'd gone through a little door and I could see a nice magical room and then another magical room. And then it was like, I don't know, like God took the massive door away and sent me into heaven or something. It was like, here it is. Here's the magical, like the cherry on top of the icing on top of everything.
is it that burst of energy that you think you got? Because I got an amazing burst of energy that still is going today. Even though I'm feeling quite tired today, I feel everything is possible now that I'm not working.
Yeah, exactly that. Because when I wanted to give up over those 8 years, like I think we spend all of our time in our imagination, and usually it's not good imagination a lot of the time. We tend to imagine the worst case scenarios a lot of the time. So for me, my imagination was always saying, you can't give up drinking because, and then there would be a massive list. How are you going to go to a wedding, go to a party? How are you going to get through just a normal evening each night? You know, there was so many, it was just like, I cannot see the rest of my life without drinking. No, it's just impossible. And if we can't see it and start to imagine it, we can't get through that block. That's how I see it. And I think, well, I know doing the work that I did over the 8 years started removing other little blocks and other little things and other little things. And it showed me, actually, it is possible. It was like teasing me and going, well, maybe it's so much better on the other side of not drinking. And it was like, nah. And then I'd go back and not do it. And then eventually I did, you know.
So I always talk about giving up drinking as being like 100 little epiphanies, but I feel like you had 100 little epiphanies first.
No, I think
I hear the language you use and I recognise it, but I'm like, you did all of that before? Wow, that's just amazing.
Yeah, I think I experience things backwards to most other people, like, which I don't mind.
The other thing I like is the way that you use playing with playing with painting and drawing, because
that's what I do.
Sometimes sometimes I feel that people, they feel that they have to become perfect at everything rather than just doing something because they enjoy it. And I'm sort of guilty of that to some degree. But I remember I took up sewing after I gave up drinking. It didn't last very long. It really was playing. You didn't ever want to wear anything that I ever sewed. It was all terrible, but it did keep my hands busy for quite a while. and there's no room for drinking in my hand. So people don't have to pursue things to some logical, perfect, I need to become a professional artist. Let's talk about that, because I think that's really the way that you build your community, the way that you talk about art is all in that playful way.
It is. Yeah, it certainly is. And I have an online membership, like a community where we paint every single week. It's all women, actually. It's about 30 of us. You know, a lot of them, there's a constant, oh, their work is better than mine and mine's not good enough and rah, rah, rah. And it's like, and can you help me with the wave where I've painted this? It's just totally gone wrong. And I'm like, you're looking at it with wrong eyes. Let's start from over here. Like, you're looking at it through your judgmental eyes. And it's not about that. It's about enjoying the process. Yes, if you end up, like, I happen to think my art's pretty good. No, we'll go with my art's really good. Most of my art is really, really good. I find that when I paint, there's not much that I think, oh, that's crap, I'm going to throw it out. Most of my stuff turns out what I would call really, really good. And I believe that that is because I don't have anything riding on the outcome. I'm just enjoying myself and it ends up being good. And that's what we do. We get in our own way because we've already started with, oh, I'm not good at this and it's not going to turn out right and blah, 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 blah. So that block, that thinking that's already kicking in when we start is already blocking some of that creative flow. With my ladies, I'm always talking about you have to find what works for you, but absolutely get out of your head and into your heart and just play. And I always use my nieces as a example. Like when I paint with them, they're 2 and they're 6 and they don't say, Auntie Lou, how do I paint a seascape? Or how do I paint a sun? They just paint. They just paint. They know they've got everything inside of them. They know that creativity is flowing through them and that's who they are. But us adults, we listen to our thinking way too much and we don't need to. We don't need to. We can come back here and be playful.
What moved you to go, okay, I can do something with this and this is what I want to do? Most artists would go, excellent, I'm going to build a studio at the end of my garden and spend days sat there listening to Radio 4 painting. But no, you went out into the world with it.
You might have noticed that I'm a very passionate woman. And I struggled to hide that. I think because of my journey and because of what I've been through, if I can inspire, and I know I inspire a lot of women, they tell me a lot. If I can inspire just one person to feel good, it's all about the feeling. And if you feel good, you end up doing good in the world a lot more. I've seen that. You know, I spent all those years being angry and hating the world and against the world and blaming everyone else for everything. And now I've turned all of that around, you know, what's the thing, 360 degrees, whatever it is, all the way around. And I've seen that, and I've seen the power of that. And if I can just touch a couple of people in life that they can hear something from that and it changes something for them, then my work here is done. My play here is done. Yeah.
Being the inspirational woman that you are, Lucy, what would you say to people who've now given up drinking and they may have done some art or writing or music or had a hobby back at school? How would you suggest they begin to start teasing out their creative self?
By playing with children, if they've got any children in their lives, for sure, is a good place to start, because they show us how free we can be. I think the first thing is that we are worthy. We're born worthy, and there's nothing we need to do to achieve that or get to that status. We are worthy, full stop. And when we know that, and we keep knowing that, and we keep working on that, and believing that, and seeing that more and more, you begin to let yourself shine, and you begin to let yourself be freer and have fun and allow yourself to play in this playground of life that we're blessed to be in. So, yeah.
So just be brave and go and do it, and know that you're worthy and you can do it.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time today. It's been great. It's been great to have a conversation with someone that I've been watching online all this time.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome to see what you guys are doing as well. I love following you and what you're up to. It's lovely. So thank you for having me.
You can find out more about Lucy on her Instagram at Sheffield Lucy, or her website lucysheffieldart.co.uk. And don't forget to visit us at the tasting rooms in Covent Garden. We offer private tastings so we can match you with a perfect alcohol-free drink. Find out more and buy drinks from joinclubsoda.com and at joinclubsoda. And join us next week for more inspirational stories.